The scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 17 and 21 and 22. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquestionable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Biblical scholars really do not know what the origins were of this baptism that John was all about there on the banks of the Jordan River. It may have been just an extension of the Jewish laws that stressed ritual cleansing for purity reasons. It may also have been a take on a ceremony that was done within the Jewish faith when someone wanted to practice Judaism but had not been born into it. Although it seems like that may have been something that came later than John. But how or why John started to do this thing called baptism is not important. People were flocking to the countryside to see him and to hear his message. They were going out into the middle of nowhere to hear a very unusual man preach messages that were unflinchingly direct. Messages about the need for repentance, and where he would say things like, "The axe is at the root of every tree that does not bear good fruit." The listeners were the trees, y'all. But yet, people were coming out to hear him in droves. And many, I just imagine, many walked right by their community synagogue, where you were supposed to be able to hear God's word. Many of them walked right by the synagogue on their way out of town. Out to the countryside, the people went. They listened, they were baptized, and then they returned to their homes to figure out how it is that they needed to live in their post-baptism lives, day after day, week after week, year after year. These people were clearly hungering for more than what organized religion in the synagogues and in the temple were offering. John's message was so striking and different that they started to wonder if John was the promised Messiah. "No," he declares to them, "the one who comes after me, the one who I am merely preparing the way for, the one you are looking for is far, far greater than me. I am not even worthy to untie his sandals, John says. No, I am not the Messiah, people. Let's be very clear about that. John has them picture it this way. He says, the one who will come after him is one with a winnowing fork in his hand, standing on the floor of the granary. The good, the wheat, has been separated and threshed from the bad, the chaff. And the winnowing fork is used to toss them both into the air, where the light, the chaff, will be blown away and separated from the wheat. And after this is done, the good wheat is gathered and the chaff is burned in an unquenchable fire. The one who comes after me, John says, will be working with much more than the waters of the Jordan, but with the Spirit and a refining fire. And then John is whisked off the scene. In the very next paragraph, he's whisked off the scene. We didn't even hear that paragraph this morning. Did you notice there were two verses missing? It's not included in the lectionary. It is not included in the suggested scripture for this Sunday. In those two verses, Luke tells us that Herod Antipas, and that is the son of the Herod that was in the wise man story that, if you were here last week, you heard Pastor Gary talk about. Herod Antipas, he had gotten a pretty good dose of John. John was rebuking Herod for his evil ways in general and for his marriage to Herodias. Now, why did that matter? Well, she had been married to Herod's half-brother when he met her the first time. And there was the little matter that she was his niece. Truth is stranger than soap operas sometimes. Anyway, John had been pretty vocal about how he felt about all of this, and so Herod decided that he would shut him up by having him arrested. But this is where it's weird, because Luke tells us this in these verses we didn't hear this morning. Luke tells us this before John even baptizes Jesus. In fact, I think that may be why the lectionary leaves those two verses out. Because it's a strange way to tell this story. Luke never actually says that John baptized Jesus. Now, two other gospels are very clear that John baptized Jesus. Both of them are clear, but Luke, he just leaves out all of those details, which is not like Luke. Luke is a very detailed writer. It is sort of implied that John baptized him. But what Luke actually tells us is that John was preaching and baptizing, and he gets in trouble with Herod, and he is arrested. Exit stage right. John is not on the scene. So I always remind you that what we should do when we see stories told different ways is we should ask ourselves, what is it that this particular author is trying to point to in the way he chooses to tell the story? Well, there's a few things. First of all, Luke is pointing over and over again in this passage to who is important, and it is not John. John says he is not worthy to untie Jesus' sandals. John says Jesus will baptize with something more than water. John says, I am not the one you are looking for. John may baptize Jesus, but it is God. It is the Holy Spirit at work that matters. Second, Luke is very purposeful in directing attention to the Holy Spirit. Look at this passage and you'll see the Spirit woven all through it. He mentions that Jesus will bring a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And just think about that threshing floor analogy again. Remember when I said that the wheat and the chaff are tossed in the air? What is going to separate the two? It's the wind. It's the wind. And we know that when we look at the Bible, that the Spirit is envisioned in many, many different ways. Fire and water, a dove, and yes, the wind. And we do see the Spirit there at the end of the passage descending upon Jesus in some mysterious bodily way, like a dove, but not a dove. Descending on a baptized and praying Jesus. And that's the other thing that Luke is emphasizing here in the way he tells this story, prayer. Luke will continue to portray Jesus as a man of prayer. Luke will tell us that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. Luke will tell us that Jesus would stay up all night in prayer. And Luke will tell us that Jesus prayed so earnestly in the garden before he was arrested that his sweat was like drops of blood. So here in this story of a special moment where the ministry of one, John, is ending and the ministry of another is beginning, Luke does not focus on the event of the baptism like the other gospels do. Luke instead shows us what Jesus did after the baptism. He prays. He prays to his Father, who sends the Spirit down upon him with personal words of love and praise and acceptance. Luke's story of the baptism is surprisingly understated, very low key. Luke says Jesus was baptized when all the people were baptized. That's my favorite part of it. You can see that Jesus went out to the countryside too, because that's where the people were. You can imagine that he stands at the back of the line to wait his turn. A humble servant king. And right there, among all the people, Jesus begins his ministry with his head bowed in prayer. And from this place, this picture of a quiet, still power and beauty, where all aspects of our triune God are present in all of its mystery and wonder, Luke then embarks in the next few verses of his story of salvation and grace by tracing Jesus' genealogy. And the way that Luke does it is he traces Jesus through his father, Joseph, back to Adam, all the way to the beginning. Luke connects Jesus, who was baptized next to all the other people in the countryside. Luke connects him back to all men, women, and children on earth. And we are connected, all women, men, and children on earth, to him still to this day. So we are here today, gathered in our beloved church. Most of us, I imagine, are baptized believers in the Christian faith. Some of us are so far away from having the water sprinkled on our heads that we don't even remember that day. And some of us are probably incapable of remembering that day because it was our parents or our grandparents or another sponsor who loved us so much that they brought us forward on that day for baptism while we were still infants. No matter when or how you were baptized, and if you have not been baptized, Pastor Gary, Pastor Arthur, or myself would love to talk to you about baptism and what we believe specifically in the Methodist Church. But no matter when or how you were baptized, I want us today to remember what is really important about baptism. Is it the person who applies the water to your head? Is it who all was there to see it? Is it about what you were wearing? No, it's none of that. What's important is that you came at all to the water, or that someone loved you enough to bring you. It's that you recognized the wisdom of repentance and turning to God, or that someone loved you enough to commit to bringing you up so that one day you would. It is the fact that God was there, claiming you as his own. And it is most definitely about what happened after the water had dried, after the pastor had locked up the church, after all of the pictures were taken, and after your Sunday best was hung back in the closet, or a christening gown was placed in a cedar chest. It is about all of the same things that it was about for Jesus. It's about an ongoing life of prayer. It is about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's about your life in ministry. A life transformed by what happened to you or for you at your baptism. A ministry that is unique to you, each and every one of you, where you will find your own countryside to spread the good news in, where you will find your own people eager to hear the message that you bear, where you will find Spirit-given words will fall upon the Spirit that is working within the hearts of those who are hearing you. And then the cycle continues. People hear, people are baptized, people go out in ministry. And it is all in the power of the one in whose name you are baptized. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for baptism, a sacred moment where we come forward or are brought forward and are claimed by you. We thank you that your Son would humbly go to the river to receive this as well, as in many things showing us the way. Help us to never forget that it is about more than a moment of water upon our heads, but it is about a life changed and transformed. A life that is changing and transforming to our community. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.